such a beautiful song. That's a song that we sang all the time, and especially at the baptism of a lost soul into life. And that was one of my favorites from years gone by. Glad you sang that. Glad you sang it. Have you ever said, or even someone said to you, "My, you've grown"? Now, to a child, that wouldn't be anything. You know, children start out young and they get older, and the adults say, "My, you've grown." And like, wow, it's quick. But if that's said to an adult, we start to think, well, I guess I have, and maybe even become offended by it. But it's a fact. We do grow over time. It's obvious that we understand the definition of growth being a growing or development, an increase in size, weight, and so on. And that's what we usually look at. We look at the size and the weight, the physical aspects of the body when we're talking about growth. And this growth we see in ourselves, and we see obviously in our children. This growth was one that we saw as we watched Jason grow physically year after year. Although, as you can see, he got a head start. And he grew to be a handsome young man, and is now, with the help of Andrea, raising their children, assisting them in the growth and well-being. Now, I didn't know Jason was going to use this same picture this morning, but I didn't change it. And you can see, I remember when Jack was just this big. And he has grown so big. Now, when he stands on two legs, he's as tall as Andrea. My, he's grown. But that's not what we're talking about today. Even though we are concerned about ourselves and our children's physical growth and well-being, we need to be even more concerned about our spiritual growth and well-being. If you will, turn with me to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 18. Glenn read this just a moment ago, but I want to keep it in the forefront of our minds. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Peter is telling us to grow. He's not telling us to grow physically, but he's telling us to grow spiritually. He's telling us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's telling us to grow in grace, desiring and obtaining the knowledge of Jesus. And if we grow having that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we will have all the essentials necessary for this life and for the life to come after death. So our study today is going to be directed to spiritual growth, growing as a Christian. And in our study, we're going to see the directions in which a Christian should grow. We're going to examine some of the measurements of growth. We're going to look at some practical suggestions for growing spiritually. So let's start examining first the directions of spiritual growth. There's four directions I want to take you in this. I want to take you upward, inward, outward, and downward. And while you're thinking about that, let's look at upward. Upward, in other words, is toward Christ. Upwards to Christ. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verses 11 through 15 tells us, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ. Through this passage, we learn that in our growth, we need to have our goal set up on the perfect man, the fullness of Christ. We need to have our goal set on growing up in Christ. The next direction I want to take you is inward, and that is toward self. And 2 Timothy, the second chapter and verse 15, tells us to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Through this study, we need to acquire the knowledge and the understanding of God's word, along with wisdom, so that we can discern what is right and what is wrong. And that's just not a simple reading of a passage and then closing the book. That's reading the passage and looking at what the meaning is and looking at where it's taking us, looking what the purpose of it is. We need that for our inward growth. Our third direction is outward, that being our attitude and our relationships to others. The 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 8 through 13, Paul tells the Thessalonians, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish them, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." In this passage, we understand that we need to put on a shield of faith and love. Having the faith of Jesus Christ, the hope of eternal salvation, knowing that he died for us, and through that he loved us, and we need to extend that love to one another. Having a helmet put on us that is the helmet of hope, so that we can share that with one another. I want you to go to heaven. You should want me to go to heaven. And our attitudes towards one another should direct that. Our love for one another should direct that. Turn with me also to Romans, the 12th chapter, and verse 10. Paul tells the Roman brethren there, he says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Here Paul wants us to be kindly affection to one another. Have, again, that sense of love that we want to help you make it to heaven. Honoring one another, just as we would honor anything important, anyone important. We honor one another because of our love, because of affection one toward another. The other direction I want to take you is downward, rooted and grounded. In the Colossians letter, the second chapter and verse 6, writer says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And then in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 17 through 18, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. These two passages tells us that our faith is to be firmly planted in God's Word. It is what's holding us together. It is what's keeping us firmly rooted and planted so that we don't waver, so we're not tossed to and fro. So that's our plan. That's our direction. Upward, inward, outward, downward. It's all in a godly manner. Now that we've looked at the directions of our growth, let's consider some methods and methods of measuring our success. First, have you ever put up a measuring stick on a wall or marked the measurements on a wall to measure the growth pattern or the growth cycle of your children as they go from year to year? Sure, we all have done that. And we may even have those same marks on the wall, and our children have been long gone from the home, from the house. And we do that so that we can keep track of how they've grown from year to year. Well, we need to have that same means of measuring we have to have the same means of measuring our spiritual growth as well. Measurements to determine if we are growing spiritually. We would take a sense of concern if our child never got above a certain height, and they should be up here. We would be concerned if our children weren't growing. We would take them to a doctor to see what's wrong, see what's going on in their life. We need to have that same concern if our spiritual life is not growing. So we have to have measurements to test this. We'll call this a test. First to consider is, how is my knowledge of God's Word? Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 11 through 14. A moment. Paul, in writing this, recognized that the Hebrew brethren should be growing. He states this in this passage. And he says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The writer here realized there was a problem in their spiritual growth. He realized that they weren't growing and they needed to do something about it. It was urgent. They needed to be able to exercise and discern both good and evil. I'm not sure about you, but when I first became a Christian, I spent a lot of time studying and trying to discern the Scriptures, trying to understand the Scriptures, trying to get more depth of it. Sometimes down the road, we tend to relax in that trying to find out the gospel. And sometimes we give up and we don't read at all. We don't study anymore. If this is the case with you, why is that happening? Is something or is someone getting in the way of our study time? We need to increase our knowledge. Next thing we need to measure is, do I discipline myself? You all know that athletes have a goal in mind. They want to reach the end of the goal, but they don't start the race without any practice. They spend a lot of time getting themselves in shape, preparing for the race, st- studying their tactics and making sure that their tactics are going to get them to the goal and be there at the end of the finish line. Paul said in 1 Corinthians the 9th chapter and verse 27, I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was concerned that he needed to make sure that everything he was doing and everything he was saying was in accordance with God's will, for fear of pulling someone astray. And so he kept his body under subjection. He disciplined himself. We need to do the same thing. We need to keep studying to make sure that we're living a righteous life and so that we don't pull anyone astray. Another measurement that we need to consider is, do I have the power to resist temptations? Jason spoke of temptations this morning when he mentioned 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and verse 22, where it says, abstain from every appearance of evil. If we are traveling paths that are taking us in the wrong place and we have a weakness, we need to get away from that. We need to abstain from that. We need to turn around and go the opposite direction. James, the 4th chapter, and verse 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you have the power to resist the devil will not be a problem in your life. If you have God's word in your mind, if you have God's ways in your heart, you can resist the devil. You can overcome those temptations. But are we still struggling with temptations? We might be struggling temptations the rest of our life, but we have to have the ability to overcome them and resist them. Another measurement that we need to look at is, do I display good Christian fruits? Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 33 says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. With that in mind, look at Galatians, the 5th chapter, and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we have fruits of this nature, it'll be seen by all. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and verse 9 tells us, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Are we producing godly fruit? We need to measure that. We need to know that we are producing godly fruit. For the tree is known by its fruit. Does my family, my friends, my associates know that I'm a Christian? By my fruits? That's something that you need to be concerned about. Letting everyone know what kind of fruit you're displaying. Another form of measurement. We also need to look at, what is my interest in life? Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and the first two verses says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. What is our interest in life? Is it of the worldly things? Is it of everything that the world can give you? Is that our goal? Is that what we desire? How much of this world is in our life? Stop and think about that. Here again, Jason talked about that this morning. We need to make sure the biggest part of our life is godly. Godly in our lives so that we can teach our children. So our children can see the fruits of godliness. Godly in our lives so that we can teach and show all our friends and families and associates who we are. What is your interest in life? Another measurement that we need to consider is, what is my attitude toward others? Philippians, the second chapter in verses 3 through 5, says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves." I know if we stop right there, a lot of people may have a different opinion on this, thinking, hey, what about me? I should be first in this. But no, that's not what he's saying here. We need to esteem others better than ourselves. Put others before you. "Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If you want to be like Christ, you're going to have to give up yourself. You're going to have to spread your love to others. You're going to have to treat others better than yourself. Do we love one another as ourselves? Is the love for our brother going to help them get to heaven? I think that's an ultimate goal. I want to do anything and everything I can to help you get to heaven. And if it's by my instructions through God's word, if it's by my example, let it be. So how do we measure up? The next thing I want to look at is some tips on how to help grow upward, inward, outward, and downward. This could end up being a repeat of some things, because the first thing on the list is reading and studying our Bible every day. Stop and think about this. How many hours do you spend reading your Bible in a day? How many hours do you spend reading in a week? How much time do you give to meditating on God's Word? And compare that to how much time we spend watching TV. How much time we spend on the internet, Facebook, shopping. Now, if your desire and your goal is to reach heaven and you want to take everyone with you, I think we're going the wrong direction. We need to spend more time studying. What did Paul tell the Bereans in Acts the 17th chapter? Or talk about the Bereans. And he said, "The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night, and the Berea, who came thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." They had a desire to understand the scriptures. "And therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." Why can't we make this our everyday habit? And along with that, why can't we memorize a Bible verse every week? You know, if you memorize one Bible verse every week, and you did that for 52 weeks, you'd have a lot of knowledge right up here. And if you retain it and start again next year, and the next year, you would be more developed in the scriptures. Why can't we do that? It's all part of our desire and what we want to do, whether we want to grow. Do you want to grow as a Christian? Along with that, we need to pray every day and often. Sometimes we forget. And maybe the reason we forget is because it hasn't been a developed habit. Why can't we make it a habit? Let's pray when we get up. Let's pray throughout the day. Let's pray for our meals. Let's pray when we go to bed and thank God that we made it through another day. Paul told the Thessalonians, to pray without ceasing. I think that's what he meant. Have a continual prayer throughout the day. You know, another thing that we can do to increase our growth, our spiritual growth, is attend worship services and Bible classes regularly. Be here whenever the doors are opened. Why? So that you can grow, so that you can obtain some more vital information about God's Word, so that you can worship and praise God by song, so that you can edify one another. You edify me every time you show up, and I pray I edify you as well. That should be our attitude. I've heard many times, and this is kids and that say this, but do we have to go? I think I said that too when I was a kid. Do I have to go? We need to get that attitude out of our mind. We want to go. We want to worship God. We want to be in the presence of our loving Savior. We want to edify one another. That should be our attitude. And along with that, there's gospel meetings going around the area, and we need to attend those as well, as many as we can. Why? Well, I want to grow spiritually. I want to sing songs of praise to God. I want to learn more of God's Word. I want to see new friends, see old friends that I haven't seen for a long time. I want to be in the presence of God. Why not you? Help those around us. Be at every gospel meeting that we have here. With all that is said, wouldn't it be nice for someone to say, "My, you've grown spiritually." Do you remember going to amusement parks and riding the roller coasters, or wanting to go ride the roller coasters? Do you remember the measuring sticks that they have that says, if you're not taller than this, you can't ride? What reaction did you have when you got up there and you was this much shorter than that measuring stick? A little disappointed? Did you get to ride it, even though you was that much shorter than the measuring stick? No. And how'd you get over that? Well, Mom and Dad said, "Well, you're going to have to come back next year. Next year, hopefully, you'll be up to that." And that was the only thing that kept you going, kept you throughout the year so you can go to the amusement park and so you could ride that huge, humongous roller coaster. And next year when you got there and you reached that measuring stick, you were thrilled and able to go. Well, you know, we should have that desire when it comes to growing spiritually in God's eyes, and so that we can have that entrance into heaven. There too are measurements that we have to fulfill, requirements to reach that heavenly home, to enter into that home. There's a measurement. You've got to hear God's Word. Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Very important part of that measuring stick. You must repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Savior, Matthew 10:32-33. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 22:16. "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins." That's all part of this growing process to make it to heaven. If you haven't fulfilled the requirements of the measuring stick, You cannot go to heaven. So how is your spiritual growth? If you're here today and you have not been obedient to God's word, you've got some growth to do, to make. You've got some growing to overcome. And you've got to be right with God. You've got to be obedient and be baptized. But if you are here and you've left the side of God, you haven't been growing inwardly, upwardly, outwardly, or downward, then there's some things lacking in your life, and you need to correct that. You need to make sure that you are growing spiritually so that we can all rejoice, so that we can all make it to our heavenly home in the time to come. Think on these things while together we stand and sing.